Welcome to this special tape, How to Turbocharge Your Sales and Profits with Dan Kennedy's Magnetic Marketing. In just a few minutes, you'll hear highlights from one of Mr. Kennedy's speeches, recorded live in front of an audience of about 6,000 people at one of the famous Peter Lowe International Success 2000 events, held in dozens of cities nationwide. Through these events and his other speeches for associations and corporate groups, Dan Kennedy shares his exceptionally profitable marketing strategies with nearly 200,000 people each year, frequently appearing on programs with other popular business speakers like Zig Ziglar, Brian Tracy, Jim Rohn, and Tom Hopkins, legendary entrepreneurs like Debbie Fields of Mrs. Fields Cookies and Jim McCann of 1-800-Flowers, former U.S. Presidents Bush and Ford, General Norman Schwarzkopf and General Colin Powell, Larry King and Paul Harvey, and many sports and entertainment celebrities. Mr. Kennedy has tens of thousands of people in every imaginable business and industry, and sales professionals in every field who utilize his magnetic marketing methods, and you can hear some of their comments about their experiences on side two of this tape. Dan Kennedy is also the author of 8 published books, including How to Succeed in Business by Breaking All the Rules. A businessman and a busy consultant, Entrepreneur Magazine once observed that, quote, Dan Kennedy has 102 different money-making ideas for any business person. And now, here's Dan Kennedy.
I'm going to send you out of here with specific, usable 1, 2, 3 marketing strategies that apply to any product, service, business, or sales career that you will see results in your bank account within 21 days or less. I'm going to give you one complete strategy you can use exactly as I describe it to you at the end of our time together that you will be able to go and apply, and I can make a virtual certain bet that none of you in here are using it exactly as I will describe it to you, but that most of you can. And again, most of you will be able to see results in your bank account in 21 days or less as a result. So we're going to do some real practical stuff. I am here to make you money. There's a couple things I'd like folks to know about me before we get rolling. One is, if you're at this seminar, good bet you go to a bunch of them. And at many seminars, what you encounter is what I call the pretend experts, the folks who sell only in their memories, run businesses only in their nightmares, and now traverse the globe telling people how to do what it is that either they never have done. A whole lot easier to write a book than it is to do it, or that they did so long ago that it just no longer matters. I do this 50, 60 times a year. It's only one-third of my life, though. Two-thirds of my life is like yours. It's in the real world, dealing with customers and clients who eat their young every Monday morning, real marketing problems, and everything we talk about here this afternoon will be reality-based, not theory-based. I have 2 hate lists for you that pretty much summarize where we're going to go this afternoon. If you run a business and you sign your name on the dotted line on all the checks, then one of the key things on your list of things that you hate should be being what I call an advertising victim. And when I say that, you should get a mental picture. That's when you get the big black checkbook out, you sign one of those checks for some kind of advertising expense, and you hand it to some kind of advertising salesperson, and you have no earthly idea whether you made a good decision, bad decision, when you'll know, how you'll know, if you'll know. I detest that kind of uncertainty when I spend my money. Bet you do too. Going to show you how to eliminate it, how to make every dollar you spend promoting your business trackable, accountable, measurable, and come back to you quickly in multiples. For those of you that sell for a living, number one on your hate list should be cold call prospecting grunt work. My friend Zig would call that warm approaching. And if he and I agreed on everything, one of us would be unnecessary. I just don't see anything warm, friendly, fuzzy, happy, pleasant about this process of trying to talk to people who at least emotionally, if not physically, are backing away from you as fast as you are moving towards them. I grew up in the Midwest where we have coal mining, and to me, cold prospecting is like coal mining. It's dirty, filthy, ugly, smelly, sweaty work, best left to people who earn minimum wage with brawn, not maximum wage with brain. And so regardless of what you have done before this afternoon, as a result of what we do this afternoon, you should never cold prospect again as long as you live. I'm going to show you how to eliminate it from your existence and change the way you attract your customers or clients. One quick story, set the stage for where we're going to go, then we'll roll up our sleeves and get to work. Story gets us acquainted and sets our direction. I live in Phoenix. And I guess you have heat kind of like ours. You know, our license plate slogan is, but it's a dry heat. And it is, just like a microwave 4 months out of the year. And it's important to this story. Phoenix, just if you haven't been, just take my word for it. There is no hotter place in North America than Phoenix in July and August. I travel a great deal. 200,000 air miles or so a year, but I do have an office. I do have a staff. Even when I'm home, though, I tend not to go to the office. I find it disturbs the staff. And so generally when I'm home, I stay at home. And one of the things I do is I catch up on consulting calls with my clients on the phone. And so several Julys ago, I'm home alone, weekday afternoon, everybody's out of the house. I've got the house to myself. I'm at the kitchen counter. I've got a pitcher of iced tea. I've got a client on the speakerphone. I'm intensely involved in a conversation with my client when someone uninvited, unexpected, and in fact unknown to me begins to ring the doorbell and bang on the front doors of my home with earthquake intensity. You all work for a real living. You're not home during the day, but if you stop and think about it, the options of who can be at your home on a weekday afternoon, uninvited, banging on the door is pretty slim. It's a pest. Not sure who it is. Back in the recession years, we knew because all the Jehovah's Witnesses and Avon ladies carpooled, but now it can be all sorts of people, but it's a pest. And so I did what you do with pests. I ignore it, confident that if sufficiently ignored, it'll go away. Didn't. I'm ignoring, continuing my conversation. He's ringing and banging, ringing and banging, ringing and banging. But finally, I'm right. After ignoring him for a sufficient length of time, he gives up and leaves, ever so briefly. He goes around to the rear of my property. He climbs over an 8.5-foot-high masonry wall with shards of glass embedded on the top to discourage this method of entry, comes down past the cactuses, the shrubs, the pool, and the spa, and he is now on the patio deck. Immediately behind me, he can see my back to him through the panes of glass on the doors, on which he is now banging with incredible violence. This is by far the most annoying pest ever. But I'm like the most stubborn guy ever. So I keep my back to him, raise my voice to carry on my conversation. We have the contest of wills that seems to last an eternity. Finally, he wins. I can't handle it anymore. I turn around to deal with the most annoying pest ever. It turns out the reason he's there is my entire backyard is in flames. We set a record that year, 15 straight 120-degree days, and everything a little dry, brittle. My guess is some imbecile driving through the community flicked a cigarette butt into orbit that picked my yard to limp it. I'll never know, but literally everything but the water in the pool is on fire. And this good Samaritan who thinks I'm an idiot, which is arguable by now, is there trying to save my house. Now, here's what's instructive. Here's what's useful. At that precise moment in time, he went from being the most annoying pest to the most welcome guest ever to visit the Kennedy household in 15 years because he was there with just the right message at just the right moment in time. In this case, call 911, stupid, I'll work the hose. Now, the reason it's instructive is because, know it or not, acknowledge it or not, like hearing it or not, the vast majority of the time that you try and communicate with your marketplace, present, past, or future, prospects, clients, or customers, you are categorized as a pest, not as the most welcome guest of the day, week, month, or year. And I'm here to tell you that if you discover how to change that, I call it addressing the first square on the marketing game board. If you change that, you automatically change everything. Everything else suddenly gets easy if you become what we call a welcome guest marketer. Let me give you two quick examples. I have two friends in this business. You would know one or both of them, maybe. I won't tell you their names, but one is a sales trainer. And if you've ever had the joy of being locked in a 3 or 4 or 5 day sales training boot camp, then you'll appreciate this. He teaches 365 different ways to close a sale, presumably for people who would like to improve their effectiveness at doing so. And whenever I see him, the first thing I always ask him is whether or not he's found one yet that works, because it would seem to make the other 364 superfluous, but it's less tapes in a box. But other than that, but here's my contention. If you want to increase your conversion percentage, if you want to close more sales, you don't do it with a new magic 7-word manipulative phrase you pop out of the box at the end of the process. You do it from the beginning of the process. And if you become a welcome guest marketer, as we're going to talk about, then your closing percentage goes up without improving any of your sales skills whatsoever. My other buddy is in a time management business. And he sells, some of you have them, probably under your seats or out in your cars, the really big honking time management systems that if you got a small car, you got to strap it on a roof when you drive around, which is why they come with solar calculators. They recharge while they're up there. These things usually have 56 colored tabs and 86 colored pens, and it takes an hour and a half to learn how to use it. It comes with a videotape. And as near as I can tell, it takes an hour and a half a day to use the system to manage the time that saves you an hour a day. But If you like those things, that's fine. My contention, though, is if you want to improve your personal productivity, you don't necessarily need a new leather binder. Instead, what you do is become a welcome guest marketer, so you spend all your face-to-face time only dealing with people who have sought you out and are predisposed to do business with you in a competitive vacuum. And so that's what I'm all about. That's what I do for companies and organizations, people. And every time we do it, we build a new marketing system. We cover three main issues. We deal with three steps. Going to run you through them very quickly here this afternoon, and here they are. We'll talk a little bit about each one of them as we go along. Gentlemen in the back of the room, thank you. The first one is right message. What do you say? Message. Marketing message. What do you say to your marketplace, to your past, present, and future prospects, clients, and customers that is compelling, that is magnetic, that cannot be ignored, that must be responded to, that draws them to you like a light on a dark night draws moths? Do you have a great marketing message? We're going to ask some questions and find out. Secondly, who do you say it to, and by deliberate strategy, who do you not say it to? Being efficient in your marketing. Are you efficient? Are you smart about this? Or are you throwing mud against the wall? We're going to ask some questions and find out. And third, the media. How you deliver the message to the market. Do you do that effectively? Do you do that affordably? Do you do that efficiently? Do you do that in a way that involves little or no manual labor and magnetically attracts people to you? We're going to take a look at that. So in each of these three things, I'm going to give you one or two key ideas to take with you. And for starters, under message, I want to send you home with the single most important question anybody's going to ask you about your product, service, business, or sales career as long as you're in it. Master this one question. You take a quantum leap in ability to create income as a salesperson, business owner, or marketer. This is the single most important question because the right answer to it, as I'll demonstrate, is the key to the marketing vault. It doesn't just marginally increase things. It multiplies them far beyond the ability of most people to even conceive. It is that important. And I'll give you a model of demonstration. Now, the technical term, for those of you taking notes, for the answer to this question is USP. It stands for Unique Selling Proposition, that which differentiates you from all competition, direct and indirect. And here's the question. Why should I, your prospect, choose to do business with you versus any and every other option available to me in your category? Why should I choose to do business with you versus any and every other option available to me in your category? And when you have a great answer to that question, you can turn things upside down. Example, model. I'm going to give you a model to take home. A model of one of the best unique selling propositions invented in maybe the last two decades. And so what you want to do with this model is you want to take it home and lay it down next to your unique selling proposition and see how they compare. And if they don't compare very well, then this one's a good place to start to build a great answer to this question. This particular model, this unique selling proposition, was invented by a college kid. Two kids, orphans, no family resources, no athletic ability, no scholarships, determined to go to college. Here's the plan they hatch. The plan they hatch is they find a crummy, miserable, stinking little retail business that's on the edge of campus on the brink of failure. Its owner is only too happy to lease it to them with no money down just to get out from under the ongoing bills. The plan is the two kids are going to run this business. One of them's going to go to school during the day while the other one works the business. Then they're going to flip-flop. The other one's going to go to school at night. They're going to do everything in the business. They're even going to sleep on cots in the back room, keep all the money. This is how they'll get through school. Shortly into this plan, the business is continuing to hemorrhage money. One partner bails out on the other. The one who stayed behind dropped out of school, determined to honor his commitments and make this work, shortly thereafter invented a unique selling proposition. I think it's 8 words long. And on the strength of his unique selling proposition, he not only almost immediately turned a failing business into a successful business, but he multiplied it. Pretty soon he had multiple outlets. He dominated his city, he dominated his state, he dominated North America, and in under 5 years, according to Fortune magazine, he became one of the 1,000 wealthiest citizens on the planet, all thanks to his 8-word unique selling proposition. His unique selling proposition was so powerful, think about this, that for a decade we could go out anywhere in North America, stop 100 people at random on the street, play word association with them. What's the first thing that comes into your mind when we say blank? Give them the generic equivalent of his business and 80 or more of the 100. The first thing on the tip of their mind, first thing on the tip of their tongue was the proprietary brand name of his business and what a good job he did. If we go out in Salt Lake City Mall, we stop 100 people at random on the street and we give them the generic equivalent of whatever it is that you do. Real estate, insurance, stocks, bonds, computers, automobiles, pet grooming, doesn't make any difference. And 80 of the 100 instantly respond by telling us about you by name and what a great job you do, what your market share is going to look like. That's called marketplace dominance. That's what this kid got. He turned his entire industry upside down, had everybody chasing him for 10 years trying to catch up. You can do it too with the lever of a great answer to this question, a powerful, unique selling proposition. Now, if you guessed what his was, that's all well and good. But what I've said should hopefully motivate you not just to guess and shrug, but to want to microscopically analyze his and others like his to find clues that you can use to strengthen your own. His was fresh hot pizza delivered in 30 minutes or less, comma, guaranteed. And on the strength of that unique selling proposition, Tom Monahan took a crummy little corner pizza joint and built an empire. When you analyze it, there's a number of things to spot. I'll point out three. One, how narrowly he defined his position in the marketplace. Tom didn't try and be all things to all people. There's no mention of Mama's recipe from the old country. There's no mention only using sun-dried tomatoes gathered on the east side of the mountain on Tuesday. There's not even any mention of good pizza. There's truth in advertising after all. There's 52 ways that I teach to build a USP. The one Tom used there is called opportunity gap exploitation. He identified the one thing in his industry that everybody did badly, that annoyed the consumers the most, focused on it, fixed it, and made it the core of his marketing message. Secondly, what we teach is meaningful specifics rather than vague generalities. Tom Monahan didn't say to you, "I'll get your pizza soon, fast, quick, quicker than the other guy, faster than a speeding bullet." Tom said, "Set your watch. It'll be there in precisely 30 minutes or less." We call that gutsy, accountable marketing. Very few marketers, very few business owners are ever willing to do it for obvious reasons. Those who do gain incredible leverage in the marketplace, and there's case history after case history after case history to support it. Third, a guarantee. Tom took all three of those things and a number of other things we don't have time to analyze and knit them together in this tight, concise little statement called a unique selling proposition, the foundation of his entire marketing message, and it gave him the leverage to turn one little business into a global empire. You may not want a global empire, but you may like the leverage. So, the first thing to take home, the first little homework assignment is to go home and think about, why should I do business with you versus any and every other option available to me in your category? How's your answer? How's your marketing message? Now, second, let's assume we figure all that out. Let's assume we got a great marketing message at its core is a great unique selling proposition. We're excited about getting it out to the marketplace. It's so good, we're ready to spend money getting it out to the marketplace. Here's the next challenge. World's greatest marketing message is no better than the world's worst marketing message if it's shouted at deaf ears. We do this a lot. Most people are not any more sophisticated about marketing their businesses, products, or services than they were two decades ago. In fact, here's the level of sophistication that most of us unfortunately settle for. Print up brochures, a lot of them. Stuff them in a big burlap sack. Rent a plane. Fly low. Lean out, shake sack, hope. We can do better. And here's why we can do better. For good or bad, and it's a debate that has nothing to do with us marketers, privacy in America is dead. It's gone, buried, forget it. The database world, the world of lists, the world of demographic psychographics, the world of target marketing knows more about you than your mother. And so if you say to me, here's what target marketing is all about. Target marketing is all about leveraging resources. Great marketing message, now we want to leverage our resources. It's matching the message with only high probability prospects, and here's why and how it can be done. If you say to me, my perfect prospect is a one-legged midget with an industrial engineering degree between the ages of 35 and 52. He's got three kids, two dogs, one television set. He bowls in a league on Wednesday night, and he drives a Chevy Impala that's between 4 and 6 years old and has primer paint on the left front fender. We can get a list of them in your zip code. Not going to be a very big list, but we can get a list. And it begs the issue of high probability prospecting, target marketing, using your resources only to reach the people who are perfectly matched with what it is that you have to offer. So when we start to talk about target marketing, we're going to spend about 5 minutes, and if you know nothing else about target marketing, you'll understand that you'll instantly understand the first thing on the list. There's about 15 ways to do target marketing. If you're a business-to-business marketer, you do it technically different than if you're a consumer marketer, but conceptually it's the same. Here are the top 5 ways to target market if you're a consumer marketer, and you'll understand the first one if you understand nothing else about target marketing. The first one on the list is basic geographic target marketing. And just about everybody gets it, and pretty much just about everybody does it. That's where you get a map, take kids' crayon, styrofoam cup, put the cup over your house, your store, your factory, your place of business, take the crayon, draw a circle around the cup, take the cup away. That's my target market. That's valid, but it is dangerous and wasteful in its simplicity. And so what I want to do with these 5, 6, 7 minutes, I want to at least get you intrigued enough with target marketing that you'll go do the research necessary, which 90% of it can be done for free, and 90% of it's a do-it-yourself project, take you less than a day, in order to become a much more sophisticated, precise target marketer in your particular business. So let me tell you why you want to be more sophisticated and geographic. I'm in my office one day and I get a phone call. Now, you should know I'm never in my office, and when I'm there, I never take incoming calls for reasons that will become obvious in a second. But somehow this day, this guy gets through to me on the phone. He says, look, I've been to 3 of your seminars. I got your complete marketing system. Most recently, we've been doing a marketing campaign for our company. We followed the examples in your system. We've been doing direct mail. We followed your examples perfectly, and we are getting zero response. This is not a good call. This is why I don't take incoming calls. But somehow, I'm on the phone. So you got to ask questions. Turns out this guy owns the largest carpet cleaning company in Phoenix where I live. I said, okay, where did you send all the mail that didn't get results? He said, we picked a few neighborhoods real close to the plant so it'd be easy for the guys in the trucks to take care of the customers. Geographic marketing. I said, okay, what can you tell me about the people who live there? He said, they live close to the plant. I had that. I was moving on to what's called demographics and psychographics. Big words, simple concepts, fascinating when you know how to use them. Demographics are statistical information about groups of people because birds of a feather really do flock together. Demographics are like head of household, occupation, income, do they have kids, not have kids, that sort of thing. Psychographics are even more interesting, excuse me, because they're predictive of buying behavior. Psychographics have to do with what interests people. What magazines do they subscribe to? What books do they buy? What products do they buy? What have they spent money on? How much money have they spent? How frequently do they spend money? And as I said, all of that information is readily available if you know where to look for it and how to get it, so you can precisely match yourself with only the high probability prospects, and you can omit others to prove to him, the owner of this carpet cleaning company, the incredible importance of all this. We did free research for him. I got in his car with him at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and we drove up and down the streets to these neighborhoods where he'd been sending all his unsuccessful mail. And by the way, if you do consumer marketing and you haven't gone out and looked at him lately, venture out, take a look. You got to go into their own habitat late in the day. 5, 6 o'clock is a good time. It's when all the ordinary folks rush home to the caves, but they don't put the rocks in the holes right away, so you check them out. So we're driving up and down the streets, the carpet cleaning president and I, and here's what we find. Real small lots. Chain link fence around just about every lot. Small, cheapest block construction house on a slab you can build. Almost every front yard, driveway, or both, there's one old broken down car or truck up on blocks, parts laying around. It's happy hour. Papa's out on the porch, the concrete slab extension of the foundation, enjoying the ambiance of the evening. He's got on an old greasy undershirt with holes in it, droopy plaid shorts, beer bottle tucked in one pocket, and he's sitting in one of them lawn chairs, the green and white plastic crisscross straps, two straps missing. Papa's hanging a little low. Next to him on most of the porches, Mama's out there enjoying the ambiance of the evening with him. She's got on a matching undershirt, hers says his says hers, greasy holes, droopy plaid shorts. The baby wearing nothing but a diaper, no shoes or socks, is out playing under the car on blocks, in the car parts, the mud and the grease, being supervised by the old mangy, flea-bitten, three-legged, one-eyed dog. I say to the carpet cleaner, do these look to you? Slow down, look close. If they clean them at all, once a year before the poor relatives come for vacation, they run down to Target, they get a gallon of blue gop for $1.98, they rent a machine, and then they move the furniture around. Doesn't make them bad people, makes them terrible prospects for a carpet cleaning service. Second big question to take home. In your own way, are you making the same dumb mistake? Wasting bullets on targets that even if you hit them, it doesn't count. The biggest leverage you are going to find in taking small amounts of money and getting big results, small amount of effort and getting big results, is learning, understanding, and using target marketing. Let's assume for the sake of our conversation, we figured that out. We got two of the three things. We got a powerful marketing message at its core, a great unique selling proposition, and in our sights, we have exactly who we want to deliver the message to, and we have excluded a whole bunch of people we do not want to waste time or money delivering the message to. So we got a great message. We got a great market. Here's the next challenge. How do you take the message you've so lovingly crafted and birthed and deliver it over here to these people you've carefully selected in a way that is effective, efficient, affordable, involves little or no manual labor? I'm philosophically opposed to manual labor, and will magnetically attract back to you the perfect prospects who are ready, able, and eager to buy, and buy only from you, so you get to sell in a competitive vacuum. How do you do that? Well, if you make a list, if you stop to think about it, whatever business you're in, whatever sales career you're in, you can make a long list of media, things that you can spend money on to deliver marketing messages. Depending upon your business, you can advertise in a newspaper, in consumer magazines, or in trade and industrial journals. You can advertise in consumer industrial directories. You can go exhibit at home and consumer shows or trade shows. You can advertise in the yellow pages. You can go on radio and television. You can put telemarketers on the phone. The list on and on and on and on. Here's a couple things you need to know. First of all that stuff works, and it all can be made to work better with good direct response methods, but only a handful. A handful of all those things that you can do can be converted into a system. And system's one of my favorite words. System means reliable, consistent, predictable results. You get it working once, and then it keeps working on its own for a long, 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 long time before you have to tweak with it again. We need marketing systems. And the example I'm going to show you of a marketing system is so predictable, so reliable, so consistent that you go to bed at night when you have this working for you, knowing, not hoping, wishing, not even praying, but knowing within a small acceptable range of variance how many good prospects, customers, or clients are going to come to you by noon the next day, every single day for as long as you use the system. And it's like a thermometer. You can even turn it up or down to get more or less any time of the week, month, or year that you want them. It's that scientific. So I'm going to show you one example of one marketing system. This example does several things. It demonstrates to you what a system ought to look like versus just catch-as-catch-can media. It shows you how to take a message, deliver it to a market in a way that's effective, efficient, and affordable. And this one has a bonus to it. This one shows you how to enter a new target market and dominate it in 45 days or less for $3 a prospect or less. You become the dominant presence in any target market you can define. If you can define a target market for me, and it doesn't have to be geographically precise necessarily, but if you can define a target market, then this particular system in 45 days or less, $3 a prospect or less, makes you the dominant presence in your category of business in that target market. Everybody knows who you are, what you do, why they ought to do business with you, what your USP is, and a significant percentage have responded to you. There's a couple of caveats, things I have to tell you about this before I show it to you. The first is, I stole it. I'm a huge believer in creative theft. Do not know if I've ever had an original idea in my life, but the older I get, less interested I am in encountering those things. Pioneers come home full of arrows. So I'm interested in stuff that works, but I get to do something you don't get to do. Last 3 years, my consulting practice, I've worked with clients in 136 different product, service, business, and professional categories. So you, see, today's a weird day for you because you're sitting with people who do different things. But most of your continuing education, whatever business you're in, here's what you do. You belong to a national association totally made up of people in your business. You belong to a state or local association totally populated by people in your same business. You go to its conventions, meetings, and conferences organized by, put on for, and put on by, and attended by people in your same business. If you go to a strange town, you look in the yellow pages in your section to see what everybody else in your business is doing. You read books written by people in your business. We have a technical term for this. It's called marketing incest. Because it works just like real incest. In a short period of time, everybody seems to get dumber and dumber and dumber and dumber until the whole thing just grinds to a creaking halt. All great advancements in businesses come from outside the box, not inside the box. Well, I get to do, see, what I get to do as a consultant, I get to go over and work with Industry A. And because everybody's myopic, while I'm over there, I notice something they're doing that's phenomenally effective. Hardly anybody else outside their business is doing it, but could be doing it. I borrow it from Industry A, and I take it over, and I teach it to Industry B. And while I'm over there, I notice something they're doing that hardly anybody else is doing, but could be doing. And so I borrow it from Industry B, and I take it back, and I teach it to Industry A. It's a disreputable way to make a living, but I'm a high school graduate. This particular system I'm going to show you as an example, I borrowed 25, 26, 27, I don't know how many years ago now, by observation only from the real estate business. Realtors have a marketing term they use called farming. And what they mean, they don't mean DeBoer sister, mule, funny hat, pitchfork, Green Acres song, move to the country, but the agricultural analogy is there. What they mean, when if you hear them talking about farming, what a realtor means is getting a small, carefully selected, manageable target market and setting out to become the dominant presence in their business in that target market in as short a period of time as possible. Now, they do it with manual labor. I don't like manual labor. But conceptually, it's the best marketing advice you're going to get as long as you live, so let's spend a minute dissecting it. What they mean by farming is getting a small, carefully selected, manageable target market and then nurturing it, setting out to become a dominant presence. Now, they mean geographically small. I don't necessarily mean geographically small. A small target market for you could be all the dentists in Salt Lake City who earn over $100,000 a year, but it also could be all the dentists in North America who earn over $250,000 a year. It's a defined target market. Small, carefully selected, manageable, set out to become the dominant presence. So why small? Because the biggest marketing mistake most marketers make is marketing too big. I'll say to somebody, what's your target market? Guy says, Salt Lake City. Terrific. if we send one postcard once a year to every adult in Salt Lake City, which can hardly be called an intensive campaign, what's our budget have to be? $250,000. How much you got? $600. Problem. You want a formula? Here's a formula. Somehow, preferably by science, by strategy, by demographics, psychographics, but if necessary, by personal preference or bias, but somehow you have to shrink the size of your target market so that whatever resources you're willing to commit allow you to have big impact. Somehow you have to shrink the size of your target market so whatever resources you're willing to commit allow you to have big impact. There is absolutely no point in jumping up and down in the ocean and thinking you've done something. You want to jump up and down in a puddle. You can move from one puddle to the next, but you want to work puddles, not oceans. Small, carefully selected. We talked about the power of selection of target marketing. Carefully selected, manageable. Manageable means either they are all in the same place, or they all belong to the same thing, or they all read the same thing, or they're all available on a list. Somehow, we can affordably, effectively, and efficiently reach them. Small, carefully selected, manageable target market, set out to become the dominant presence in the target market in as short a period of time as possible. We just want to do it by substituting something for the manual labor the realtors invented. And what we're going to substitute is a very particular type of direct mail. The example I'm going to show you is a direct mail example. Now, two quick caveats. First of all, direct mail is not the only thing I teach, not the only thing you should use, not the only thing in my system. In fact, far from it. There's all sorts of media and delivery systems that can be used. But direct mail can be and often is one of the best bangs for your buck if you learn to do it right. Which brings me to the second caveat. As soon as I start to talk about it, one third of the ears in the room flop right over. Man, we've tried direct mail. Doesn't work in our state, city, business, industry, product category. It's too expensive. It's too complicated. A couple things about that. First of all, you and I go through life only doing the things that work real, real well for us. Very first time we do them, less kids with each generation. Secondly, you have not tried direct mail the way I'm going to show you how to do direct mail. In fact, almost everybody makes this mistake when they do try it. They get a list from somewhere, maybe not a very good list, but they get a list. They print up something, they send it to the list, and almost no matter what happens, ugly, bad, good, they never mail to those same people again, or if they do, it's 3, 6, 8 months later by accident, and they send them the same stuff they sent them the first time. Save your money. Never do one-shot mail. Let me explain to you why that can't work. Here's how people do not live. The last thing Harvey says to Marge when he leaves the house in the morning is not, "Marge, I want you to stay home. Don't go to work. Don't take the kids to school. Don't go to the grocery store. Do not leave this house. Do not leave the foyer. Stay right here in the foyer with your nose pressed against the window watching for the mailman. When the mailman arrives, I want you to hustle your buns out to the mailbox and get the mail before somebody gets it, a bird snatches it, it catches on fire, it gets wet. Get it back in the house. Guard it until I get home. Together we will open the mail. Because today might be the day that a life insurance agent sends us one of those nifty letters where we can get a free road atlas if we let him come over to our house and beat our brains in for 3 hours and I want a free road atlas. This is not how people live their lives. And what makes people think they can print up one crummy goldenrod flyer, send it out one time and get some stampede of response? It's a mystery to me. The thing doesn't even nick them on the way by. They don't even feel the breeze. If you want secrets, secret to advertising, secret to marketing, secret to direct mail in specific, secret to both impact and response. If you want impact, if you want response, you must have repetition. The two are inextricably linked. One does not happen without the other, but you cannot do Madison Avenue kind of repetition. You can't afford the time or the money. You need a guerrilla warfare kind of repetition, and that's what I'm going to show you here with this example, an example of one type of marketing system, but certainly a very good one, that in any target market you can define, in 45 days or less, for $3 a prospect or less, with no manual labor, penetrates that market, makes you the dominant presence in that market using a particular type of direct mail. Now, I'm going to show you one example from one business. Got to quickly convince you can move the example to any business. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you sell big ticket items, small ticket items. It doesn't matter whether you sell to the corporate CEO in the boardroom or mom and pop at home in the kitchen. It doesn't matter whether you go to them, they come to you. It doesn't matter whether you sell tangibles, intangibles, consumable products or services. None of that matters. Let me quickly try and prove it to you. These are a few letters about what I'm going to show you. Across my desk recently, this is from an insurance agent. He just says, "I targeted 500 business owner prospects. 174 of them called us to set up appointments. This is the only way I'm prospecting now." I would think so. This is a computer software company. They sell only to the Fortune 1000. Your system's the most profitable thing we've done to get new business in 12 years. This is an automobile salesman. I'm amazed. I sold 11 cars last month to referrals brought into an event by past customers, all thanks to your mailing system, and we sent to only about 100 customers. 100 customers, 11 cars. This is a certified financial planner. I went from $13,000 a month to $42,000 a month in fees and commissions, all in a one-month jump, thanks to your system. This is a children's clothing store owner. We doubled business last year, even though a big factory closed in our town. This is an Amway Diamond Direct. We never thought direct mail would work for us, but in 1 month we've dominated the neighborhood, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I got hundreds of them I could read you. So whatever business you're in, the model moves. The example I'm going to show you comes from the restaurant industry. I use it in all my seminars for two reasons. One, if you had an arena full of restaurant owners, I'll swear it won't work. Restaurant owners don't do, built seven restaurants that I know of, but restaurant owners pretty much don't do direct mail. And if they do anything, they do Valpak. You know, the thing you go through, find Baskin Robbins, throw everything else out. Secondly, I got to do a speaker set. I got to read you just a couple paragraphs of what I'm going to show you. But since I'm going to read you, we might as well have a little fun. This is kind of an in-fun example, but don't miss the serious point of how this can take your marketing message, deliver it to a chosen market effectively, efficiently, and affordably, and magnetically bring you ready-to-buy customers or clients, dominate a market 45 days or less. So this is letter number one to a geo-demographically selected list for an Italian restaurant. In real life, where the square is, there's a photograph of the owner of the restaurant. The headline says, a confidential letter to the husband of the house from Giorgio, the romance director of Giorgio's Italian Grotto. I'll read you just two paragraphs. Dear husband, women are different than we are. Your loving wife needs, wants, and deserves special attention maybe more often than you think to give it to her. You are busy, preoccupied with work, aggravated with that dum-dum you have to deal with every day at the office. Tired. Who has the time or the energy to even think about romance? Two-thirds of all marriages end in divorce, and the number one reason given by divorcing women, quote, he just didn't pay enough attention to me anymore. I wrote this while I was watching Oprah. Restaurant goes on to present a solution to the problem, which in this case is a prepackaged evening of romance. One price, table in a special section, five-course meal, strolling violinist, rose in a bud vase, heart-shaped box of candy to take home, souvenir photograph. That's called an offer, by the way, and it's useful to know how to do one of those, although it's not our point. My point is, what happens to everybody that gets this letter and does not respond? 15 days later, they get a second one. This one, too, has a picture of Giorgio in real life where the circles are. There are three pennies glued to the letter. The headline says, three coins in the fountain. For sake of time, I'll just cut to the chase. The second paragraph says, you see, this is your second notice. Your romance wake-up call from me, Giorgio, the romance director. My bell tolls. Does it toll for thee? This letter goes on to restate the problem, restate the solution, remake the offer. And it works and gets response. That's not what's important to our conversation. What's important is what happens to everybody that gets letter number one, letter number two, does not respond. 10 days later, they get letter number three. Letter number three has a picture of Giorgio. The headline says, hear that lonesome whippoorwill. He sounds too blue to cry. Dear husband, this is Giorgio. Too blue to cry. Disappointed. Attached are copies of the two letters I previously sent you. And the real stubborn ones that don't respond to that soon get a postcard that looks like this. And it says, can this marriage be saved? Now, here's what you have to ask yourself seriously for just a second. Do you have any doubt that any household that gets the three letters and, if necessary, the postcard, he's not the topic of conversation? It doesn't matter who opens the mail. They're showing it to each other. They're showing it to their neighbors. Are you getting this guy's mail, which some are, some aren't? Giorgio walks into a 7-Eleven dry cleaners in the community. People gather around him, tell him how much they enjoy getting his mail, when they got reservations at the restaurant, and ask for his autograph. For the price of three letters and a postcard, he is the dominant presence in his category of business in 45 days or less in his chosen target market. You can't do it more efficiently than that. Now, few people are saying, wait a minute, I sell very sophisticated stuff to very sophisticated people, never do anything like that. It's unprofessional. Well, you can separate style from structure. I want you to know, this works even better in business-to-business than it does in consumer, because everything else they get in business-to-business mail is deadly dull, institutional, and boring. But if you like, you can separate style from structure. What's most important is the structure. Let me show you. Now, this is a business-to-business market, or almost doesn't matter what they sell, but they were in a seminar just like you. Went home and applied this idea. We used the three-letter system to sell our coupon books. They have to get to the business owner. He buys in bulk. Our response was letter number one, 7%, letter number two, 8%, letter number three, 3%, total response, 18%. Now, there's two things you got to know. Number one, nobody gets 18% response from direct mail. 1.8 maybe, but not 18, my people, but nobody else does. But what's more important, if they stopped where everybody stops with letter number one, in their case, they leave 11% behind. They don't get it. They don't know it was there to get. Maybe they have an unsuccessful instead of a successful experience. There's magic in the structure itself. I stole that, too. Almost 30 years ago, in 1 year, I managed to have two cars repossessed and go personally and corporately bankrupt all in the same year. During that year, I got all over with it once. During that year, I became intimately familiar with the collection industry. And I noticed a pattern that probably none of you have ever seen, so I'll describe it to you. It looks like this. First notice, second notice, third notice. They're roughly 15 days apart. There's no mystery. They're writing to you repeatedly. It's technically called linkage. Each letter refers to the previous letter. Generally, the last one has copies of everything they sent you before with final notice rubber stamped all over it, stuffed in the envelope. I saw it over and over and over again. I said, if this will get money from people who haven't got any, offering them nothing, I wonder what would happen if we tried it on people who got some and offered them something. Since become one of my most reliable magnetic marketing models of the 49 that I teach, and I commend it to you highly for you to try. Now, I'm going to tell you a closing story. This story keeps promises I made to you at the beginning of the time together. This story is a real important story. Here's everything it does. First of all, it takes everything we talked about this afternoon, a few things we didn't, and stitches them together in chronological application order so you see how they work. Secondly, it does it in a real-life business. This is a true-life example. Third, it does it in a business most of you would never expect to find good marketing, thereby demonstrating if this guy can do it, you can do it too. Fourth, it gives you a complete, as I promised you at the beginning of our time together, a marketing strategy, a system, step-by-step, that you can walk out of here and use exactly as it is described to you in this story and see results in your bank account 21 days or less. And as a bonus, it gives you a new market, a farm, a group of prospects perfect for you, which you already have access to, but are not currently harvesting. For to do all of those things, every little nuance is important. I only have time to tell it once, and so here we go. In the mail one day, I get an envelope. The envelope is addressed to me, Dan Kennedy. It has a real live stamp on it, and in the return address corner is the name of someone I know. In this case, not a buddy, not a relative, not a friend, not a family member, not a golfing partner. In this case, it happens to be a peer, another colleague in our business who also lives in Phoenix. It doesn't matter, really, that that's the case. There are 300 of us, by the way, professional speakers who live in Phoenix. I don't know why that is. I wish 299 of them would get out of town. But that's none of that's the point. The point is, the envelope is from someone whose name I recognize. It's addressed to me, and it's got a stamp on it, so I open it. See, look, here's a direct mail mistake. People send out mail with the assumption it'll be open because they sent it. Doesn't work that way. America sorts its mail over a wastebasket. If you don't make the cut, nothing else counts. You can have inside your envelope one of those beautiful full-color brochures the home office loves for you to use. It's gold embossed in the chairman of the board's head. It's got the logo die-cut in the upper corner. When you open it up and fold it out, things pop up and music plays. Doesn't make any difference if they don't open the envelope. What I've just described to you is on one almost certain way to get an envelope open. It's not the only way. Sometimes it's not the best way in a given situation, but it is a very good way. So, I got the envelope. It's addressed to me. It's from someone I know. I open it. The letter I take out, the headline across the top of the letter says, "I suppose you're wondering why I'm writing to you about a plumber." I say to myself, "Yep. We don't even get a Christmas card from this guy. Nah, I see him at airports. You know, now he's writing to me about a plumber. What is this all about?" So I read the letter. Second important phrase, if you want to make direct mail work, write down, got to get them to read it, got to get them to open it, got to get them to read it. And you got about 10 seconds from flap to trash to compel readership. This curiosity is one way to do it, not necessarily the best, but it's the way that was used now. So I go ahead and read the rest of the letter. The letter goes on to tell a story about how he was having a social function at his home on a Friday evening to which I had not been invited. And about 9 o'clock at night, a pipe in the den under the bar began to spew water everywhere, horrible mess. He had to find a plumber who would come out on a Friday night at 9 o'clock, made calls out of the phone book, finally found this guy, Al the plumber, who rushed out, gooped this, tightened that, didn't have to sell him any parts, had a whole mess cleaned up in under 20 minutes, only charged him a small amount of money. In order to say thank you to this plumber for this extraordinary service, he, my speaking colleague who lives in Phoenix, decided to send this letter to all of us, his speaking colleagues who live in Phoenix, and let us all know if we ever need a plumber, Al's the guy we got to call. Now, think about this for a second, because two money-making things just happened. There's more to the Al story. There's more you have to know about the Al story, but two money-making things just happened. Let's see if you caught them. The first is called a champion circle of influence. See, everybody has a circle of influence in which you could do business if you were properly introduced, but you haven't been. So the plumber goes back to the customer and says, "You know, when I was here the other night, you were very appreciative, and I appreciate that. What you probably don't know is we get very little of our new business the way we got you from advertising. We get most of our new customers through people like you because you probably belong to something. You belong to Rotary, no, Kiwanis, no, Neighborhood, Watch, no. Well, everybody belongs to something." Guy confesses. He says, "Well, there is this speakers association I belong to." "Great. How many of those are there in Phoenix?" 300. Plumber says, "Terrific. Here's what I'd like to do." Now, here's the second thing. Plummer says, here's what I'd like to do. I wrote up what you said to me as I left now as a letter from you to those 300 people. We can change anything you want to change, but then I want to take it and I want to put it on your stationery, not mine, yours. I want to put it in your envelopes, not mine, yours, and I want to send it to those 300 people who know you by name but do not yet know me. May I do that? That's called an endorsed mailing to a champion circle of influence. It's the only piece of mail on the planet, 100% get opened and 100% get read. So I got the envelope, I opened the envelope, I read the whole letter, and when I got all done with it, I didn't call Al the plumber. Why didn't I call Al the plumber? Yeah, I need a plumber, sure. So all that's wasted, isn't it? How many think it's not wasted? You're all wrong. If he stops there, it's a giant, epic waste. Think of what has to happen now for it to turn into business for the plumber. I got the letter, I read it. Al sounds like a pretty good guy. I don't need a plumber. I got to go down to the copy shop, Kinko's, wherever. I got to get 18 copies made of this letter. I got to get 18 Ziploc sandwich bags and 18 pieces of duct tape because I got 18 pipes. I got to put a letter in each bag. I got to go around and stick one to every pipe so someday when I need a plumber, I can find this guy. This is no way to get a flood of business. That's why, about 10 days later, I get what I would call letter number one from Al the Plumber. Hi, I'm Al the Plumber. You'll remember me. I'm the guy your friend wrote to you about who had the party you weren't invited to, who had the leak I rushed out and took care of. Now, the reason I'm writing to you now is we have this very important free thing we do only for people referred to us by our VIP customers. That free thing is a free home plumbing problem prevention audit. And the reason why it's so important for you to have a free home plumbing problem prevention audit is every home 10 years old or older has at least 100 horrible plumbing problems that can occur at a moment's notice. We come out and make sure none of those things are about to happen to you for free. I still don't call Al the Plumber. I'm hearing drips in the night. I wasn't hearing before, but I don't call Al the Plumber. That's why 10 days later I get from Al the Plumber second notice. Hi, I'm Al the Plumber. You'll remember me. I'm the guy your friend wrote to you about, had the party you weren't invited to, had the leak. I wrote to you about a free home plumbing problem prevention audit. I haven't heard from you, and I'm very concerned. If you'll take a look at the enclosed article reprint, you'll see why. And you take this article reprint out of the envelope. It's from a small community newspaper. Everybody knows everybody. They only publish once a week. Here's a front page story about this couple, elderly couple. They went away just for the weekend to visit the grandkids. A little drip under the sink when they left. They put a little Tupperware bowl under there to catch it. They come back on Monday. There's a photograph in the article of the house in five parts floating in a pond. There's another photograph of the family dog clinging to a piece of wood waiting to be rescued. You go back to the letter and it says, as you can see, even small plumbing problems can become big plumbing problems. I still don't call Al the Plumber. I'm now looking at pipes. I look okay to me. But 10 days later, I get from Al the Plumber final notice. We've twice offered you our free home plumbing problem prevention audit. We haven't heard from you, but we sure have heard from a whole lot of other smart folks. That's why if you want the free home plumbing problem prevention audit, it's very important you call within the next 72 hours. Otherwise, we may have to put you on a waiting list of up to 100 days. And enclosed is a list of some of the horrible plumbing problems that might occur during... I call Al the Plumber. Now, I'm going to tell you the rest of the Al story in 3 or 4 minutes, mostly for fun, makes one important point. But let's do 30 seconds of analysis. Al the Plumber did everything we talked about this afternoon brilliantly, leveraged him. So if he can, let's analyze his marketing campaign. Al the Plumber, our marketing genius, goes, and he gets himself a farm, a small, carefully selected, manageable target market. His is his champion's circle of influence, one of the most productive farms you'll ever own. The first seed he plants in his farm is the endorsed mailing, the only piece of mail, 100% get delivered, 100% get opened, 100% get read. He then nurtures his farm with a sequence of mailings. He creates unique selling proposition. He creates an offer that transcends timing. He did everything we talked about brilliantly, and if a plumber can do it, you can do it. Now, for fun, Al arrives at my house, virtually no resemblance between he and the plumber. He's not wearing work clothes, he's not carrying a toolbox. Al the Plumber's in a three-piece beige suit, white shirt, brown and white polka dot tie, gold collar bar, gold cufflinks, little wrenches. He's carrying a brown eel skin attaché case. The only resemblance between he and the plumber is on the breast pocket of his suit coat. There's a cloth patch sewn on that says Al. He comes into my house. He opens up his eel skin attaché case, takes out a matching clipboard. Says, Mr. Kennedy, as you can see, this is the form I'm going to use to check the 100 possible plumbing problems. Takes me about 20 minutes to do that. While I do that, do you have a VCR? Got a VCR. You need to watch this videotape. That's the videotape. Videotape educates me about one of the greatest healthcare crises in America today. I had no idea. Seems an alarming number of us are falling and slipping in our bathtubs, serious injuries, breaking hips. It turns out they got this invisible glop, replaces bath mats forever, one-time application, nothing to clean, and you'll never slip and fall, lifetime warranty. The video clicks off in 19 minutes, and as it does, Al is standing there. I say to myself, he's done this before. Al says, Mr. Kennedy, I have very good news for you. You do not have 96 of the most common household plumbing products. 96, 100, 4. Look, the ones you do have are very trivial. I have everything with me to take care of them today. I just need to go out, get some work clothes, get some tools. While I do that, did you watch the videotape? Yeah, I watched the videotape. Notice you have 5 baths. You have one in the master suite, then you have these other 4. While I'm here today, shall we just protect the one in the master suite, or shall we protect all of them? $389 later, Al the plumber gets in his beige Mercedes and putt-putts down the hill from my house. I call him a few days later. I said, look, I didn't want to bother you when you're out the house working. I know that's rude, but I teach magnetic marketing systems, and you used one of them brilliantly. I wondered if you'd mind sharing the numbers. Not at all, Mr. Kennedy. I'll just have to put you on hold to get the project file. I'm now on hold listening to a recorded commercial for his brother's pool cleaning service. When that's over, he's back. What would you like to know? How many homes did you mail to? About 300. How many of those home plumbing problem prevention audit things have you done so far? 72. Do the math if you wish. Assume no one but me gave him money immediately, a poor assumption on your part, but make it if you wish. For the price of 300 letters times 3, he's been in 72 homes where he's put on a show and a half when they need a plumber, who they gonna call. To make sure every place there's a pipe, there's a sticker. It took us a while to get that off the cat. Well, there are problems with everything we do here together this afternoon, even if we had 3 times as much time, which, you know, we don't. I want to talk about the problems and how to solve them in the last 7 minutes that we have available. And these 7 minutes are important to you if, as you sat here, you said one or more times to yourself, maybe. Maybe there's something here. Maybe there's a way for us to prospect better. Maybe there's a way to get better quality customers. Maybe there's a way to spend our ad marketing dollars smarter. Maybe. If you said maybe, then you have to be concerned with these problems, and I'll summarize all the problems. Here's the problems. Bridging the gap between new ideas, new information, new intentions, and implementation. Huge gap. It's easy now. Excited. Some people think they got it. Psychologists tell us you don't. 48 hours from now, you will have forgotten everything I said. Half of what you thought of as a result of what I said. 16 days from now, you won't even remember having been here, let alone anything we talked about. This thing works just like Mama always accused you of, in one ear and out the other. Some of you took notes. Admirable. Some of you have been taking notes since dawn. Admirable. But I'm a note taker too. So let you and I be straight with each other. The note takers in the room. Somewhere you got the place. Maybe at home. Maybe at the office. Probably at home. And it's probably in a garage, the basement, the attic, under the kid's bunk bed, in the trunk of an old car you don't drive anymore, or way in the back of a closet. But somewhere you got the place. The place is where all the notes from all the seminars you were at before this one have gone, and it's where all the notes from this one are going to. So who's kidding who? Okay, we're not going to bridge the gap from new ideas, new information, new intentions to implementation, to something actually happening with notes. Need tools. So I'm going to show you a few tools.
We'll interrupt Dan Kennedy's presentation here and provide you with the information you need to obtain a complete set of Dan Kennedy's income-boosting tools on a fully guaranteed, no-risk basis. Then you'll have an opportunity to hear some of the entrepreneurs and sales professionals successfully using his methods. Enclosed with this tape, you should have received written details of a special offer and an acceptance form you can use to obtain Dan's materials on a 60-day trial basis. If you do not have that material, you can obtain it by calling the number on the label of this cassette tape. When you examine the acceptance form, you'll find that Dan's most popular and valuable business building program, the Magnetic Marketing System and Toolkit, is being made available to you at a substantial discount as a way of introducing you to the impact that Dan's methods and strategies can have on your income. Here's what's included. Number 1, Dan's complete magnetic marketing system, full of ready-to-use, dynamic, tested, and proven ads, postcards, coupons, sales letters, letter sequences, and other marketing tools for dozens of purposes. Prospecting for new business, target marketing, launching new products or services, stimulating repeat business and referrals, and much, much more. Also in the system, 102 examples from users of this system, and 6 audio cassettes that guide you in using these tools. One is a cafeteria tape that explains everything in the toolkit. There's also a fast start tape and 4 tapes of Dan's personal crash course on his marketing techniques. Number 2, a critique certificate that entitles you to send your own printed advertisement, brochure, sales letter, or other marketing material to Mr. Kennedy for his analysis and feedback. Number 3, a collection of step-by-step reports, including how to turn mailing lists into money, all about getting productive lists of your high-probability prospects. As you'll see, the enclosed acceptance form enables you to get this entire package at a substantial discount and on a 60-day free trial basis. You have 2 full months to examine everything and start putting it to work for you. At any time within those 2 months, if you determine you do not want to continue using Dan's strategies, you can return everything for a full 100% refund. Please review and return your acceptance form promptly, as this is a limited offer. Now, we thought you'd enjoy hearing some of the business people using Dan's methods. Their comments were recorded at one of Dan's annual multi-day super conferences. You'll also find comments from other Magnetic Marketing System users on the back side of the enclosed acceptance form.
Dan Kennedy about 2 years ago. I made a decision about 3 years ago to get into the information marketing business, and for a year I bought everything and I tried to read everything, and it was very helpful to me to do that, but nothing ever made me money. In fact, by the time I met Dan, I was about $10,000 in debt. And I can tell you, in the last 9 months since meeting Dan Kennedy, Dan directly has contributed to my income $284,000. And as we speak today, I'm probably going to make about $3,000. It's an automatic system that Dan teaches. I've gotten everything from Dan. I've literally, when your checkbook starts to fatten as quickly as mine did, when you start to want to get more and more and more, because it actually works. It's practical. I have a master's degree in business. I've spent $50,000 on a master's degree, and I can tell you I spent $3,000 with Dan Kennedy, and it has made more money for me than any education I've ever had. And that's not to devalue my education, but this is real practical, real-world stuff that works. Quite honestly, I was a skeptic at first. I saw all these claims from these people who said, you know, I went to making $14,000 and then $28,000 and then $50,000 a month. And when I first met Dan, I didn't believe it. I thought it was a scam, or I thought that these were overinflated figures that he was paying somebody to say or whatever. And I was totally blown away. I absolutely, when I had hit that first month and I made $53,000, my wife and I just looked at each other in awe. And it hasn't been that good all along. It's been better. And it continues to get better. And it continues to get easier by learning more and more of Dan's methods. The one thing I would say about Dan Kennedy, quite honestly, is that there has been no person, no professor I've ever had, that has ever enriched my life more than Dan Kennedy. In the last year, I bought a new house. My wife and I had a baby. I bought a new car. I put money in my retirement account. There's no question in my mind that there's one single person that made me successful, I would say, would be Dan Kennedy.
And I went to a seminar, and Dan spoke, and I ended up getting his magnetic marketing kit, and becoming a newsletter subscriber, and then an Inner Circle, and then a gold member of his newsletter. And that's how I came upon Dan, and reading the newsletter obviously, you know, opens your eyes so much to marketing. And that's how it began, without a doubt. Using the magnetic, I literally took letters out of the magnetic marketing kit, and the consulting business I was in was computer consulting, and there was nobody writing direct mail letters, you know, and things like I was doing. And I was getting them right out of the magnetic marketing kit, offering free critiques of computer programs, you know, which Dan does with ads and things. And I would go to the conferences in my industry and offer all kinds of free gifts, and they would lead people to call me, and we would get clients. And in that business, they're very high ticket, so you didn't need many. And easily over several years of reading his newsletter and trying different things, which seemed very awkward, because, like I said, nobody in the computer industry was doing this. In my niche, it probably attributed to $100,000 in consulting, because almost all my clients I got because of things I learned from him. Otherwise, I was always waiting for people. We educated ourselves a little bit on another industry and started up a complete business from scratch, working with Dan from day one on our marketing. So we've started the business from zero. And our very first month of running full-page ads, we did about, I think, $10,000 to $14,000 in July. So we went from zero to $14,000 a month. We had a little roundtable discussion the night before the super conference started, and we got an idea from Dan. We were ready to go home. I mean, we had gotten our money's worth. And like I mentioned the other night, I got kind of greedy, so we decided to stay for the rest of the seminar.
About 8 months after I was in business, I had met up with Dan Kennedy at the Peter Lowe conference, purchased his system, went back and used it to rewrite my ads, and subsequently got 4 to 5 times the response that I had gotten originally. And from my first year in business to my second year of business, I increased my earnings 500%.
Yeah, I met Dan about 2 years ago, and I've been following his marketing system. Last year, I sold 400 houses. I'm the number one RE/MAX agent worldwide out of 45,000 realtors within the RE/MAX organization. And all I can say is it works, and I haven't prospected for years now. All my business calls me. Absolutely. You know, we're both involved in it now. A matter of fact, my real estate business has been so successful that now we're teaching my system, how I've applied Dan's teaching, and we're demonstrating it to other realtors. We do three-day boot camps, and we have a product called the Quantum Leap Real Estate Success System. We sold that system to 1,100 realtors right across North America. So it's not only helping me in my own personal business, but Dan's also helped me be able to market sort of my own system, my own real estate system, to other realtors.
I now have a system in place for my business, using what he teaches in the Magnetic Marketing Toolkit, and is consistently every single month generating at no less than $30,000 a month for my business.
Well, all of Dan's work has really helped Mike, therefore it's helped our family life as well. When Mike seems to get kind of stuck, he doesn't get stuck often, but when he does get stuck at a certain point, he'll call and ask Dan for some help, and Dan is able to just get it out to him right away. I mean, it's just off of the top of his head. He can help Mike, and therefore it relieves a lot of stress.
Well, as of last week, that one sales letter has generated over $350,000 of income. I think it's more like $380,000 of income since May. One sales letter. So
that's cool.
Okay.
And we provide internet services to the world, basically. And we've been doing that. We're one of the earliest companies in that industry. And Dan's helped me in so many ways. It's hard to catalog, but I'll come up with some hard facts. I had a business in 1991 which was breaking even and not making money. And Dan gave me one idea, which more or less instantly, it took about 30 days, turned that business from a kind of a dog into a nice profit center for me. I was able to take that money and invest it into the internet business, which at the time appeared to be a big risk. But because of the education that I got from Dan, I was able to make some very clever moves very early on that I couldn't have made without him, and was able to start this second business, which is my dream business. I mean, I have to do very little bit of work on it now. Everyone else does all the work for me. I make more money than I ever made before. And I absolutely could not have done this without Dan Kennedy's advice. I've worked on Wall Street, and I went to an Ivy League school, and I've even lectured at MIT's business school. And as far as I'm concerned, he's the best business advisor you could find on earth. And he's always been that for me. It's very hard to get the true facts on business and how business really works and how people really make money. And you can spend a life time looking for that stuff. And Dan is the only person I know and I've met in 20 years of being in business who actually will lay things out for you and show you how what really works, what really doesn't work, and how you need to structure your business for maximum profit. He's 5% motivation and 95% hard information that you need to actually make the things work. He will motivate you. He's not against that. But what he does, which is infinitely more valuable, is he actually tells you how businesses really work, where the profits really come from, costs that you can eliminate, smart ways to spend your money to build your business. And these things you just cannot find other than the School of Hard Knocks. And the School of Hard Knocks is extremely expensive. And if you listen to him, you can eliminate not everything. There's always things that come up. But you can eliminate so many difficulties. My internet business, again, which is my dream business, I've been self-employed since I was 18. I'm now 38. Is to me a miracle the way it works. You know, I get up late, I wander around the town all day, I do a little bit of oversight to make sure things are going well, and the money just rolls in. And the entire business was designed with the information that I learned from Dan. I haven't lectured at Harvard, but I have lectured at MIT and Columbia and NYU, and I know people that have gone to Harvard. To me, this is the Harvard of direct marketing, and especially if someone's interested in marketing information products, but any kind of direct marketing at all, this is the Harvard of that subject. I was a guest speaker here, and I intended to fly in, do my talk, and go home. I would have been home 2 days ago, and I can't leave. You know, I just can't leave. I'm going to stay right till the end. This thing is I can't do it justice in words. All I can say is imagine working very hard at trying to learn this for 25 years, making tons of mistakes. That's one way you could do it. Or you could come to something like this and have principles that would take you maybe an entire lifetime to learn just handed to you. And here's the other key. You're in an atmosphere of people of like mind. They're all ambitious. They're all working hard at their businesses. They're creative. They have a lot of ideas. So I've closed a lot of deals here already and gotten a lot of ideas and been re-inspired. But not just through ballyhoo, you know, but actually, hey, this works, and here's how it works, and here's what we found, and here's something to avoid, and here's something to add on.
One of the best things I've learned from Dan's system has to do with something called salesmanship in print. See, I'm an engineer, and if I need to pick up the phone or go in person one-on-one to sell to someone, that's about the least attractive thing I could ever do. Yet, Dan's taught me how to make sales in print so that I can write the sales message, communicate it effectively, communicate it with passion, communicate it one-on-one personally, yet I never have to pick up the phone. I never have to be there in person. Now, for a techno geek like me, this is great because it means I can get onto email, I can get onto the web, and make significant sales. And this has produced measurable results for us. So by email, I regularly close business that runs $25,000, $30,000 a week for a mentoring package or workshop package. The techniques and the system really work. Now, see, for me, the important thing in the Super Conference is that it's there, it's a milestone, and I have that on my calendar. So in this case, a personal appointment with Dan for 20 minutes. So I wrote lots of copy in advance, put together a whole new program, work, because I knew I'd be here and meeting with Dan and need to communicate that. And having done my homework in advance and coming to the Super Conference has helped to validate, verify, and found additional things we can plug in to make our new campaign that we're rolling out now even more effective.
Well, I had just retired from 20 years in the ministry and found out that the retirement plan was out of this world, which meant there wasn't any. And I was looking to find out what should I do, you know, with my life. You know, how can I get ahead and what should I do to try to make a living for my family? And I knew a little bit about graphic design and marketing. And about that time, there was a Peter Lowe event in Vancouver, B.C., which is right across the line from where I live, and I attended it. And the very last thing on the agenda, of course, with Dan Kennedy. And I stuck around. I heard the presentation only for two or three minutes before I jumped up out of my seat. I saw that this is the answer, and I ran out and bought his magnetic marketing system. And then when I got back home, I read it feverishly and listened to the tapes and began to apply the principles right away. This was 3 years ago. And I had tried to advertise in some other ways and put in full-page ads, and over several months' time, I had gotten 12 responses. I was very discouraged. From listening to Dan Kennedy's stuff doing what, you know, what I was doing, I threw out all the full-page ads. I put together a little ad based upon some stuff I got out of his material, and as soon as it hit, I was just absolutely overwhelmed with responses. It only cost me $30, and I was so busy and so consumed with work that it wasn't long until it not only doubled, but it quadrupled, and it doubled 3 months later, doubled again, and doubled every several months since then. And just last month alone, in one campaign that I used, you know, in my company, and now I have several employees, and you know, and we're doing very well. I put $101,000 in my bank just last month.
Hi, this is Dan Kennedy. When I deliver the speech you heard earlier on this tape, I usually have to speak at a rapid pace. On the instructional tapes in my kits, I go a little slower. But that's not the main thing I wanted to say here. I wanted to end this tape by sharing one of my favorite quotes. It's from the classic book, As a Man Thinketh, by James Allen. Men are anxious to improve their circumstances, but are unwilling to improve themselves. They therefore remain bound. That describes most people, including most of your competitors. They all complain about certain parts of their businesses and wish for more income, better clients, easier means of attracting customers. But they are unwilling to learn new and different skills and methods for creating those desired changes. There's the old adage that the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same things the same way, but hoping for different results. My methods literally revolutionize businesses. and quickly make business people much more skilled, effective, innovative, competitive, and efficient marketers. If you are already thoroughly and completely happy with the way your business or sales career serves you, with your earnings, with the flow of customers coming to you, with the ease at which you obtain new business, if you are perfectly content with your business, then you should feel free to ignore everything you heard on this tape, as well as the 60-day trial offer, the opportunity to test drive my methods without risk. If you are so content, though, I have to wonder why you listened all the way to this point. So, if you are not completely happy and would like to improve some aspect of your business or sales career, your income, and how hard you work to get it, then I urge you not to come all this way, right up to the point of decision, only to turn your back on this guaranteed opportunity. I cannot be fairer in inviting you to try me out free of risk. And I remind you, things don't change unless you change things. My tools can equip you to create whatever change you like in your business. After 20 years of coaching business owners and salespeople in these transformational strategies, I can assure you that you are working too hard to make your living without this information. I hope you'll take action on the impulse to improve your business, income, and life that led you to listen to this tape.
This tape is copyright protected by Kimball & Kennedy Publishing, and reproduction in any form is strictly prohibited.